God bless each and every one. Welcome to the Bible study again this evening. Sorry we didn't have last week. We had to travel away to the embassy to try to get a visa. So we're back in action again this week by the grace of God. So greetings to each and everyone. Good to see everybody joining us online once again. We're going to continue on. It may not seem, but we were looking at the Apostle Paul. Then we said we got to a bit of a junction with Paul. And we're going to look a little bit maybe down the way of evangelism, which brought us onto this particular thought that we'd like to have a look at this evening, which is evangelism and you going beyond your comfort zone. That's basically just the thought that we're going to have a look at by the grace of God. So it is a follow-on. This will take us in the book of Acts, but it's maybe a little bit broader because I think obviously a principle like this doesn't only apply to evangelism, but it'll apply to many, many other things inside of our lives. This one of the comfort zone. So let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we ask for your blessing, Lord, as we want to just quieten ourselves before thee at the end of this day and bring ourselves before thee now to pray that you'll lead us and guide us in our thoughts, in our meditation, that you'll bless your word to our souls, that you'll guide us, Father, that you'll lead us in all that is said, that you'd instruct us. Lord, you said you would send the comforter. He would lead us into all truth. Let it be so. May you bless each person tuned in this evening. Lord, bless all your people, we pray. And we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to gather in your precious name. So bless this Bible study, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our scripture. It's Acts 1 verse 8, which is it follows on from the Great Commission. We know the Great Commission's in Matthew 28. When Jesus told his disciples to go into all nations. But Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we'll see the book of Acts is the unfolding of exactly what Jesus said. They received the Holy Ghost in chapter 2. And then there's the unfolding now of them being witnesses now, starting in Jerusalem, then into all Judea, then eventually into Samaria. And then Paul kicks in missionary journeys and it goes into all the known world in that day. And it continues on from there. But the interesting thing is that the day of Pentecost itself, them receiving the Holy Ghost, was insufficient in itself for them to get the Great Commission fulfilled. As we'll see, here we'll see that the disciples, especially the 11 that Jesus left behind, Judas obviously has killed himself. So there's the 11, they choose Matthias to join them. They have the 12 now. You'll find that those 11 never really caught the revelation of what Jesus said to them here because they were very reluctant to go beyond Jerusalem. They were very reluctant to go beyond the Jews. It took the coming in of Paul, as we saw last time with Barnabas, that particular junction, then we saw now the real fullness of the Great Commission coming in. You know, so they received the Holy Ghost, but and the Holy Ghost gave them the potential. They had the potential, all the potential. You know, heaven had made available to them every resource that they needed in Acts chapter 2 to get the full job done. But they needed something beyond that as well. They needed the power of transformation to work in them until they started to understand things a little bit more and started to reach out a little bit further than they had before, which we'll see in the book of Acts. So basically what they needed to go was they needed to learn, just like us, to go beyond their comfort zone. Now, so that's our thought this evening, is going beyond this comfort zone. The Bible tells us, Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, so sons of God, we all have said in turning it around, we say sons of God or daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. So that's a wonderful thing. And that as soon as somebody receives the Holy Ghost, you've got this divine potential to be led by the Spirit of God. And there's tremendous virtue and power when you're led by the Spirit of God. And I just put it this way here, no one ever regretted being led of the Spirit because whenever he comes, something good happens. And there's the Ethiopian eunuch and there's Philip led of the Spirit. You know, something good is always going to take place. The Holy Ghost is always going to lead to something that you'll never regret. You can never follow the genuine leadership of the Holy Ghost in any way no person would ever testify that it wasn't the greatest decision that you could ever make. And all the great testimonies and so forth, and you look inside of your own life, it comes just by that simple following of the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But just to bring it closer home, he generally, in all our experience, leads us where beyond our comfort zone. You know, see, he generally leads us, often leads us to places or to people or to things that we're not too comfortable to go to. And we're going to see that in the book of Acts. Because Peter and the disciples, they are not comfortable going to the Samaritans. You know, they're not comfortable going to the Gentiles. You know, this is beyond their comfort zone. They're not used to this. They haven't trod this path before. And just like with you and I, it's not the easiest of things when he leads us the first time. So the Holy Ghost, in getting us to grow and develop and so forth, he leads us beyond our natural comfort zone that we're in. Obviously, others will just stay stagnant. We'll never get in. We'll never grow. We'll never develop if you just stay inside of your comfort zone. And the greater testimonies, the greater experiences, the fresh experiences, experiencing something new are beyond the comfort zone. They always are. And the problem is, when we limit our obedience, we only really want to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost to leadership within our comfort zone. Like I say, there's no real spiritual growth. You don't exercise your faith muscles, like we said on Sunday. You don't have much spiritual development. You don't possess any more of your inheritance, because footprints means possession. Yeah, there's so many disadvantages just to staying within your comfort zone. But it's amazing how we are just creatures of habit. We are creatures of the comfort zone. And we really just, within ourselves, if it's not for the quickening power and the leadership of the Holy Ghost and the work of faith within our experience, we like to stay within that familiar area. Just that's something that we feel confident with. But if you want to walk with God, like Enoch walked with God, like Noah walked with God, God's not going to walk with you just in your comfort zone. And when you start really walking with the Lord, he's going to take you straight out of that comfort zone, because he wants you to go to things that you've never experienced before. He wants you to develop talents and use your giftings in ways that you've never done it before. You know, so to walk with God, he's going to lead you to unexpected places many times. Maybe to meet people, like with the disciples, he leads Peter to meet Cornelius. I mean, this is an abomination for a Jew to go into the house of a Gentile, not just a Gentile, but a Roman centurion. I mean, this was totally out of Peter's comfort zone. That's why the Lord's going to have to speak to him three times in a vision, you know, to really get him to move and to work. So walking with the Lord, following his leadership, he's going to ask you to do things and lead you to do things that you never imagined yourself doing. Think of Jonah going to Nineveh. That was big time out of Jonah's comfort zone. Jonah was a very strict Jew. He doesn't want to go to the Gentiles, especially not the Ninevites, with all how they'd murdered so many of the people of Israel and all their paganism and how cruel and wicked and evil Nineveh, the Syrian Empire, was. But as he walked with God, the Lord took him big time out of his comfort zone to Nineveh. And like I say, nobody ever regretted being led of the Spirit. You'll never regret following the Holy Ghost out of your comfort zone, because something good will happen. And you look at that great revival in Nineveh when Jonah just obeyed. You know, the Lord had to take him in the belly of a fish and take him through a lot of things to get him to step out of that comfort zone. But when he did now, he saw things, experienced things with the Lord, and the Lord used him in ways that he never would have believed possible if he had just stayed the way that he was. So the Lord leads you to places that maybe you would never have chosen to go to, and to meet people and to fellowship with people that you never ever would have imagined. Hey, me going amongst these kinds of a people. Yeah, that's what following the Lord is. He's going to lead you out of your comfort zone. If you think of Jesus' comfort zone, now your comfort zone, what you're comfortable with, is determined by your faith. You know, so Jesus, he had so much faith. He had perfect faith. He had the greatest comfort zone that you can ever imagine. He had perfect faith. So you could put Jesus anywhere and he felt you were in his comfort zone. You could put Jesus, like we said, in the back of a boat. It's about to sink. He's in his comfort zone. He's sleeping at the back of the boat. as long as it was the word. Faith, yeah, is the soul's comfort zone. Your soul is comforted in the zone of faith. Anything that the word says, yeah, that's really the comfort zone of your soul, which is different than your natural humanity. Now, your humanity has got another type. Your temperament and so forth are going to determine what your comfort zone is, what you really feel. Some people are confident to step in front of people. Some are confident to go into a new place. There's going to be a lot of new people they've never seen before. Other people, that's a nightmare. I mean, that is just the greatest nightmare they can ever think about, is standing in front of strangers and having to speak to people that they don't know. You know, so then we all have different natural temperaments, natural experiences we've been through, and that determines your natural comfort zone. But faith isn't governed by these kind of comfort zones. That's why Jesus wasn't governed by the things which we are governed by. Jesus felt perfectly at home going into tombs in Gadara to go and find a man by the name of Legion. You know, and the rest of the disciples are saying, but hey, the Bible says if you go where there's a grave or and they touch a grave, you'll defile yourself. You know, they were not comfortable going there. But to Jesus, being led of the Spirit, his comfort zone was anywhere that his Father led him. Anything that was in his Father's will was Jesus' comfort zone. Now, he was confident to do those kind of things. Yeah, so Jesus was led of the Spirit time and time again to meet people that other people didn't want to meet. The woman at the well. If left to themselves, the disciples never would have spoken to that woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. We don't speak to Samaritans. She even says, us Samaritans have nothing to do with you Jews. But Jesus, you see, faith and the leadership of the Spirit took him into those realms where there was great blessing and great things took place, because it was beyond the norm, beyond what people would normally do. But God doesn't worry about the boundaries we set for ourselves or other people set for us. He wants us to walk with him. Going to Zacchaeus' house. You think the rest of the disciples were happy when Jesus heard him saying to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down because I must come and have dinner with you today. I mean, he's a tax collector. He's the scum of the earth. He's filth. That's what he was to the rest of the Jews. They hated, if you watch The Chosen, about Matthew, going to Matthew's house. How can you go to Matthew's house? You would see in The Chosen, when Matthew walks down the street, the Jews would spit on his shoes and that. Because you were collaborating with the enemy. You're squeezing money out of your own people to enrich yourself and enriching the oppressor, the Roman Empire. I mean, you were the lowest of the low as a tax collector. Yet Jesus' comfort zone, when Matthew gets converted, invites Jesus to come for a feast, invites all of his tax collector friends. Jesus feels at home because he's led of the Spirit to go there. But Peter didn't feel at home there. I'm sure when they walked in there, they couldn't believe that they were in such a place as that. That wasn't their comfort zone. That's not really where they wanted to be. Now, the only time you find Jesus really having to stretch out of the comfort zone was when he gets to Gethsemane. This was the greatest act of stepping out of someone's comfort zone you'll ever find, because Jesus is the great overcomer. He has to step right out of life, step into the jaws of death, hell, and the grave. Yeah, and that was a struggle. It wasn't easy for him to step out of the perfect favor and the presence of the Shekinah that he lived in and that lived in him, to take sin upon himself and to step out of life into death. You can imagine. But Jesus did it. He overcame himself. And we'll see that the promise is to the overcomer. We know that. Yeah. All the promises in the seven church ages, Revelations 2 and 3, is to the overcomer of each age. And going beyond your comfort zone is an act of overcoming. You have to overcome yourself. You have to overcome your fears. You have to overcome bad memories of the past or overcome prejudice against certain people. You might have grown up in South Africa, in an apartheid system where you segregated from all black people and colored people, and you taught white people are supreme. And now you come to the faith, and now, hey, you go into a place now and it's going to be the majority of people are colored people. Yeah, you're going to have to be an overcomer to go out of your comfort zone, but it's just natural at first. Until faith kicks in and revelation kicks in. You're going to have to now become an overcomer, to step out of your comfort zone now. So going beyond your comfort zone, it's an act of overcome. It's an act of faith. as you follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, as you walk with him. But you're going to have to overcome a lot of things, maybe overcome your own temperament, overcome previous influences that you've set under. We'll see that with the disciples. They had to overcome those kind of things themselves. So the comfort zone in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts, when you really look at it, it's the account of the Holy Ghost leading the early church progressively, step by step, out of their comfort zone. They were so comfortable in Jerusalem, they never wanted to leave there. So the Lord had to raise up Saul of Tarsus to come and stir the nest. The eagle had to stir the nest because they were supposed to go from Jerusalem to all Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. They weren't going to do it. Just too comfortable in Jerusalem. You know, they're in their comfort zone. We have lots of work to do. We don't need to go anywhere else. The Lord has to raise up a persecution. The eagle has to stir the nest to scatter them abroad. And wherever they went, now they started to preach. Now, so progressively, as you get in the book of Acts, you'll find them coming out of this comfort zone and facing up to the fullness of the Great Commission. Not just to preach to their own people and not just to take the message to the people they were comfortable taking it to, but to really follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost to places they didn't in themselves feel comfortable to go, or to people that they didn't feel comfortable even to fellowship with. Yeah, that's what the book of Acts takes us through. And you know, they fulfilled the Great Commission in their generation when they overcame and they allowed the Holy Ghost to lead them out of their comfort zone. Yeah, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And surely he'll deal with us in our generation just as he dealt with them in their generation. So he wants to lead us and guide us and take us from our comfort zone, following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, so we can fulfill his commission he's given us in our generation the way they did in their generation. But many times it's progressive. You know, he has to take us step by step, like it took the early church, to the fulfillment of this. Because like I say, they were only comfortable dealing with the Jews at first. Even the Samaritans was a bridge too far for Peter and them at first. I mean, they couldn't even think to go to the Samaritans. What about the Gentiles? Wow, that's unthinkable. Now, Acts chapter 11, when the persecution came, it says, and they, when they were scattered abroad, upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenix, that's Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. You know, so right up to Acts chapter 11, they're in their comfort zone. You know, that's where they want to stay. They just want to preach to the Jews. Now you keep reading that chapter and you'll find some of them said, okay, let's try to speak a little bit to these Grecians, to the Greeks. They didn't, the people received the word. And that's where we find Barnabas coming. We saw last time the church starting in Antioch. And for the first time now, when Paul comes on the scene, here comes a man, Paul, whose his comfort zone is different than Peter's comfort zone. Paul, he's been commissioned, he's been conditioned, he's been raised up as the apostle to the Gentiles. So he's going to go places and feel comfortable where the other disciples aren't going to feel comfortable at all. You know, you think of the disciples, even when they were together with Jesus, when those Greeks came to the feast and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Yeah, the disciples don't really know what to do with these people. Hey, what's the best thing? Let's quickly just take them to Jesus. You know, he'll know how to deal with these people. You find that woman of Canaan, we saw it on Sunday. Those disciples, send this woman away. She's troubling us. You know, it's like the disciples, when there were Gentiles around, that was not their, they don't know how to deal with these kinds of people. They never grew up with them. They weren't comfortable with them. They didn't understand them. Their previous influences and their prejudices that told them they're unclean, have anything to do with these Gentile dogs, you'll defile yourself. You know, that's the understanding which they had. And now the power of transformation had to transform them and gradually take them out of that comfort zone and lead them now to fulfill the fullness of what it was that the Lord wanted them to do. What about the Roman centurion? Wow. I mean, when he came to Jesus, the rest of the disciples, I'm sure they didn't even know what to say to this man. Here's a Roman, hey, and he's coming, he's calling Jesus Lord. Yeah, it was no comprehendo, you know, like they said, he couldn't comprehend. But Jesus was fully in his comfort zone because he was the Word made flesh. Yeah, he was the Savior of all men. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And yes, at that stage, Daniel 70 weeks, his focus was on the lost sheep of the children of Israel. But Jesus knew he was coming to die for all men. coming to die for all people. Jesus was comfortable dealing with all manners of people. Yeah. When Jesus spoke about the Good Samaritan, you think those people at church, those strict Jews at church that day, were happy to hear those two words together in one sentence, good and Samaritan? To them, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. You don't put those two words together in a sentence. There was no such thing, let alone Gentiles. Yay! And to hear that Jesus is a friend of tax collectors and sinners and that. Friends, you'll really, really see that the new birth, the leadership of the Holy Ghost, the power of transformation to be renewed. Now, you're to be renewed, but you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You start seeing things and people and things in a different way. But many times the end result is not apparent from the beginning, just as we see in the book of Acts. You know, so Jesus, the zone he operated, the realm he operated in, was well outside of the comfort zone of the regular Jew and even the regular disciples and even the apostles at first. Because why? The boundaries of your comfort zone are set by your revelation. Your comfort zone is set by revelation. If you have faith that the Lord wants you to go to a certain place, you're going to be comfortable when you go there. When you have faith that the Lord is speaking, leading you to speak to certain people or to like be in a certain place at a certain time, you're going to find that's your comfort zone. So your comfort zone is going to expand. Your boundaries are going to expand as your faith and as you experience with the leadership of the Lord progresses. Now you're going to find he's going to gradually take you out of your comfort zone, because that's what governs it, is your revelation and your spiritual experience. That's why you'll be comfortable with certain things and not comfortable with others. Yet Jesus was comfortable in all of these situations. Let me just give you a few hints about the comfort zone. Let's speak about getting out of the boat. That's obviously Peter getting big time out of the comfort zone, was when he got out of the boat. We are all naturally reluctant to leave the comfort zone. I mean, it's just in our human nature. We want security. Now we want to feel safe. We want to feel protected. We don't want to expose ourselves to danger. It's not natural for us to expose ourselves to things we don't understand, to situations that you're not comfortable with. We'll steer away. It's just human nature to steer away from those kind of things. So it's natural that, and for someone to be naturally just walking as a natural man and want to step out of a boat into a stormy sea wouldn't make sense. Yeah. Doesn't make sense to get out of a boat, especially in the midst of a storm. And Peter, he would never have walked on the water if he had stayed in his comfort zone. Yeah, he would never have experienced what he experienced with the Lord if he had said, oh, no, I'm not getting out of here. I'm staying here in my comfort zone. But in order to come out of your comfort zone like this, like with Peter, something has to bid you to come. You need to be led of the Spirit. Jesus told him, Peter, come. You see, he had a willingness. Look, hey, if Jesus is walking on the water, I want to walk on the water as well. Master, if that be you, bid me to come unto you. And then the voice came back and said, come. Yeah, so something has to bid you to come. And then we have to agree to follow. Now, this is the stages of the Lord bringing us out of the comfort zone. He has to, there's got to be a willingness in us. But Lord, I want to go further with you. I want to go deeper. You know, this great commission, I really want to fulfill more of the great commission. So then you've got a willingness, and then he speaks to you, come, let's go. And then you've got a willingness inside of yourself. You say, okay, let me step out. Let me go beyond the boundaries that I'm comfortable, because the Lord is leading me into this. And the thing of it is, he never pulls us out of the boat. He'll never pull you out of the comfort zone. It's got to be an act of will, because overcoming's got to be an act of will. You've got a desire. You've got to make a choice. I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to face up to this. I'm going to face up to this fear. I'm going to trust the Lord in this situation. It's an act of your will. He's not going to pull you out of the boat. He's going to speak to you, come. And then he wants you to act that step, stepping out of the boat. It's got to be you making that decision. However, just to balance that, if you stay too long in the comfort zone, yeah, He can allow the storm to progress a little bit, and the storm's not just outside the boat, but he can bring the storm in the boat as well. You know, Brother Ram says it, and when the eagle stirs his nest, he says he knows how to make us willing. You know, so those little chicks, when they're too comfortable in the comfort zone, the mother knows how to make them willing, you know, by taking all the comfort out of the comfort zone. Because she wants them to fly. She wants them to move into another realm. But obviously, none of them want to get out of that nest and fall down through that blue sky, which they've never experienced before. They don't realize that's their destiny. When they start doing that, and they follow the mother's cry and step out in faith out of that comfort zone, they're going to start doing things which they never dreamed they could do. You see, they're going to start experiencing new things that they never ever thought that they would ever experience. No, sorry, he doesn't pull you out of the boat, but because you're his child, if you're becoming too comfortable in the comfort zone, he has to stir the nest because he wants you to develop. He wants you to grow. He wants you to go the next stage in your experience. Now, the key as well is don't presume in the storm. So to presume is to venture without authority. Yeah. Don't step out of your comfort zone just, you know, tempting the Lord. You don't put yourself in situations because you want to see if you can do something. No. There's got to be sons of God have got to be led by the Spirit of God. We've got to responding to his leadership. We don't need to tempt the Lord. Remember, Israel, when the Lord called them into the Red Sea, that was frightening at first. They stepped into the Red Sea, walked through it. Egypt, Pharaoh and his armies, they tried to do the same thing. They presumed. They ventured without authority, and they drowned in the same sea. You know, so you just want to make sure when you're stepping out of the comfort zone that it's the Lord leading you. You're just following him, that he's the one who's got the leadership. You know, you're not presuming. Presuming is not what you want to do, especially in the midst of the storm. So let's get back then to Peter and Cornelius. So, going to the Gentiles, as we say, this is well beyond the disciples' comfort zone. As it was to any Jew who just had the normal Jewish experience, because they grew up like that. They were trained, they were educated like that. They lived in a family that believed like that. It was natural in the synagogues they'd be taught like that, to be a separate people, don't have anything to do with these pagans, you'll defile yourselves and all that kind of stuff. And they took it so very, very far. So when it came time now for Peter and Cornelius, the Lord had to speak to him in a vision. You find in Acts chapter 10, when they were on the journey, when the Lord spoke to Cornelius and the angel said, send by for a man by the name of Peter. He's dwelling with one Simon a tanner in Joppa, on a street called whatever that was. And here they came, the three of them are coming now from Cornelius. And as they draw near to the city, the Lord always working on both sides. It says in Acts 10 verse 9, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So he started to pray. And that's always a good starting point for the Lord to lead you out of a comfort zone, is you start getting yourself in prayer, start getting in tune. You know, start getting yourself yielded, start getting yourself anointed so you can follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And it says in verse 10, Acts 10, 10, he became hungry and he would have eaten. But while he was waiting for them to prepare food, he fell into a trance. He broke into a vision. And as he breaks into this vision, he sees heaven opened. So this is a revelation coming forth. And this revelation is going to show him it's time for the Gentiles to come in. Don't call that unclean which I have cleansed. Don't call that which I've cleansed unclean. Yeah, so Peter doesn't have any understanding of this. That's why he's never going to go to a Gentile. If the Lord doesn't reveal more to him, if the Lord doesn't unveil something to him, and so that faith kicks in. The Lord's got to prepare him spiritually like this by faith, by revelation, to step out of this comfort zone and to go to the house of this Gentile Cornelius, this Roman Cornelius. And verse 11 says, he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners let down to the earth. So, you know, he sees the sheet coming down and then gets to the verses we put here. There he is on the rooftop and he's praying and he sees this vision. And here comes the sheet coming down and it's filled with all manner of foods that ceremonially the Jews weren't allowed to eat. All manner of them. In verse 12, I didn't put it on there, but verse 12 says, there were four-footed beasts. There was wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of theirs. So there were lizards, and there were worms, creeping things, and crawling things, and maybe bats, and you know, all these things that people eat now. But to the Jews, that was absolutely outside of the comfort zone. I can't touch these things, let alone eat them. So the Lord's trying to teach him this principle by faith. So in verse 13 there on the screen, there came a voice to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So the word now is calling him out of his comfort zone. He's trying to prepare him to get into another realm. God wants to open another realm of usefulness, another realm of the Spirit, another extension of his ministry, take him into something new, a new experience, new people coming in. The Lord speaks to him and says, rise and eat. And it's natural. He's in his comfort zone. Peter said, not so, Lord. No, I've never eaten anything that is common and unclean. Lord, I've never done this before. Surely you can't be asking me to do this. You see, the Lord is now trying to really transform him now by revelation, by understanding, by experience in the house of Cornelius, so that he can step out into this unknown beyond the normal boundaries that he walks in. So we need the same thing now. We need the power of transformation to transform us, okay? Because we need what needs to be transformed in us. We need to be transformed in what we perceive as what is possible. For Peter, before that, he could never envision the Gentiles coming in, but the Lord had to reveal it to him. Then he was now transformed in his mind, renewed in his mind, and he started to see there was potential for things to go further. That, hey, the Gentiles can come in as well. And we need that because this is how we step beyond our comfort zone. We need the Lord to really deal with us the way that he dealt with Peter, to transform what we see as possible, because we limit God, because we limit things to the comfort zone. So we need the Lord to like show us a greater revelation, a greater quickening, a greater faith, a greater revelation of his will. So, oh, Lord, I didn't realize you want me to do that as well. My, okay, let me step out of the boat. You see, but it's got to be by faith. Anything which is done without faith is sin, the Bible says. You don't want to be doing things like that, but this leadership of the Holy Ghost, it's just not natural for us because of our temperaments, our upbringing, the influence that we've sat under. So many things influence the way we look at the world around us. And we want to just stay in with that realm and region in which we feel comfortable. But the Holy Ghost isn't bound by our comfort zone. So he needs to lead us out of there so that we can start now to express a greater degree of the potential that is in us. We need to come out of the comfort zone to change what we can perceive as possible. And the Lord in this year had to actually speak to him three times, if you go and read it, and says, do not call unclean what I've cleansed. Three times. The Lord had to speak to Peter, and then Peter went along, but it still wasn't easy for him. Imagine him going into a Gentile's house. Imagine Cornelius saying, look, come and sit, let's have some dinner. That was a hard thing for Peter to do, especially the first time, stepping out of that comfort zone. But when you get to Paul now, and we speak of Paul's comfort zone, this is where you see that Paul was such a revolutionary at that time. He was such a special vessel. He's the apostle to the Gentile. You know, the power of transformation, changing him from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, a Roman citizen. That's really what he was, the apostle to the Gentiles. This, he had such an experience when he went to the backside of the desert. You can imagine the revelation that Jesus gave to him of the coming in of the Gentiles. Like we said last time, Paul would have really seen it from the beginning of the Bible to the end, seeing that Abraham was a Gentile to begin with. There were no Jews before Abraham. He was just a Gentile taken out from among the Gentiles who started the Jewish race. And then he would have seen Eliezer of Damascus being used so greatly to go and call Rebekah. And Paul would have been led of the Spirit right through the Bible. And he would have started to see, wow, hey, Hey, even Judah, Tamar, she was a Canaanite. And now that's where the seed came through. And then he could have progressed on through the book of Genesis to Joseph marrying Asenath, a Gentile bride. And here the sons being amalgamated into the tribes as sons of Jacob. And him saving the Gentile world. And then Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman. You know, the quickening power, the transforming. Paul would have started to see, knew what the mind of God reflected right from the beginning. That, hey, the Gentiles, they would have seen, hey, he would have seen Rahab in Jericho, and he would have seen Ruth the Moabitess, and he could have just come, the queen of Sheba coming to Solomon from the queen of the south coming from the uttermost parts of the earth. Would have seen Naaman being healed, and Naaman the Syrian. And hey, and then when Paul started to hear about the ministry of Jesus now, I'm sure when he went to those 14 days to Jerusalem, and he was with Peter in Peter's house, when he saw Cephas, he said, and he saw James, the brother of the Lord, and he stayed with Peter, I'm sure he was asking, tell me about Jesus. How did he deal with the Gentiles? Now, you go and have a look at Jesus and the Gentiles. It's powerful. Jesus commending now the 10 lepers, one of them being a Samaritan, returning back and saying thanks. And then the parable of the good Samaritan. Go and have a look at all the times Jesus dealt the Roman centurion. Jesus saying, I haven't found faith like this. No, not in all of Israel. Now, those Greeks coming to Jesus at the feast, you go and see his dealings with the Gentiles and the things that he said, including the Great Commission, that this gospel must be preached in all nations. Then the end shall come. But the disciples, Peter and them, they didn't grow up like that. They didn't understand that concept. That wasn't their calling. It wasn't the commission, as we'll see. Therefore, that they were always uncomfortable stepping out into that realm, out of their comfort zone. But Paul was raised up for this very purpose. This going to the Gentiles was an integral part of Paul's commission. I mean, this is the whole purpose this man has been raised up. That little saying at the top that you can't fulfill your calling in your comfort zone. I would have changed that. You can't fully fulfill your calling in your comfort zone. Because I mean, you're not always trying to step out of a comfort zone. That wouldn't make sense. I mean, you'll kill yourself. So there's got to be times the Lord leads you into something new. Now you get into it, you get experienced in it. You start now harvesting from that new experience, that new field of labor, whatever that it is. Then now you've qualified in that. Lord, okay, let's take you now to the next step. So the fulfilling of your calling is going to be progressive, and each stage is going to be taking you out of a comfort zone. And he's going to be calling you to something that you're not familiar with, something maybe you never thought that you were going to do, people you never thought you're going to meet, doing things that you never would have envisioned yourself doing. But the comfort zone, this links very much with your commission, because your comfort zone is different than mine. Every single person listening tonight, everyone has an individual comfort zone, because that goes together with your commission. There's going to be things I'm never going to be comfortable doing because I'm not called to do those things. Like I was speaking today to Brother Tommy, and we were speaking about that. Now, Brother Tommy being an evangelist, it's easy for Brother Tommy to go and stand in the high street and go and preach on the street. But it's not going to be so easy for me to go and stand in the high street and to preach on the street. I'll do it if I really feel the Lord wants me to, but I'll be wishing that somebody else could do it instead, because that's not part of my calling. Yes, I can try to do the work of an evangelist. Like Brother Tommy said about him trying to do teaching and getting deeper in the things of the word, it's not comfortable for him to do it. He has to really apply himself to get into it. But for him to preach the salvation and heaven being high and hell being hot and all of that, that's his calling. He's just familiar with that. That's his comfort zone, spiritually speaking. Now, the Lord's going to lead him further and further in that. So the comfort zone goes together with your commission. If you are an introvert, if you are a sort of person that's quiet and shy, if someone says boo, you hide behind somebody else, you're not exactly going to be the kind of person who's going to be good like Paul, of going in a city and being beaten with rods and thrown in a prison and then going to the city, the next city, and preaching and being stoned and then going back the following week to the same city you were stoned last week. That takes a certain quality of person, a certain characteristic in a person that only God can put. God has to fashion a person according to the commission that he's called them to, and then lead them progressively now into the fullness of that comfort and the fullness of their commission. But not all of us are going to be able to do all things, and we know that from experience. We're not all called to do the same kinds of things because God has set the boundaries of our inheritance. Your inheritance and mine. He said Judah had a certain inheritance, and Gideon and Asher had a certain inheritance, and Gad had a certain inheritance. Each one had its own boundaries, from a certain river to a certain hill to a certain forest, whatever that it was. Every one of those tribes, they were all the sons of Jacob, but each one had an individual inheritance. And that inheritance would match their nature, match their temperament, match the way the Lord had made them, because God uses someone the way that he made them. You know, so when you'd find that maybe Gad comes to visit Reuben, maybe Reuben's got his cattle there, and you know, Gad's got an allergy to cattle or something. You know, or he just doesn't like the smell of cattle, or he's got a phobia against cattle, or someone doesn't like sheep, or somebody says, hey, I hate getting out there in the fields, plowing up a field and sowing corn. I love looking after animals. It's just in me to look after animals. And just naturally speaking, you'll see inside of your calling, there's like a propensity. There's the potential of certain things. You can't be, you can't, Congressman Upshaw say? You can't be something that you hate. You know, you can't make yourself something that you're not. So this, you know, you and I, we limit ourselves and we limit God. And God wants to lead us into the fullness of our inheritance. So he wants to lead us beyond the boundaries, his self-imposed boundaries of our past experiences and how we limit ourselves and how we underestimate what God can do through us. He wants to take us through beyond that and out of that comfort zone into the fullness of the boundaries of our inheritance, our individual inheritance. But that may be different than your inheritance. You know, you may say, I never, ever, you know, some people are just made to be homely sort of people. You need those people. Not everyone's called to be an apostle who, like Brother Branham was a prophet, that whenever an aeroplane goes over, you say, hey, I wish I could be in the plane. Imagine if everyone was like it. You wouldn't have a church. You wouldn't have a pastor. You know, I mean, because everyone will just have this wandering spirit. No, but God has to put that inside of a person to fulfill a certain commission. But you're going to have people that just love to be at home. You'll find it with your children. Some of your children just love to be at home. That's their dream. Ah, please, let's not go and let's just stay at home. Other ones, let's go and find something new. Let's go and explore. Let's go this. I want to go and visit that person. God makes us in that kind of way because he sets these boundaries within us of our inheritance by predestination. Because whenever God calls a man, he also equips him. But we, like the sons of Jacob, we want to possess the fullness of what we individually are supposed to possess. Because each of them, under the Joshua commission, they came into the promised land, and Caleb possessed his mountain. And, you know, Levi, he was responsible in the house of God. And the sons of Asaph were responsible for singing. And, you know, every single person, they had a place and an inheritance under the Joshua commission. And they needed to be led of the Spirit. But you can see what I'm trying to say. You have the big boundary that God has set for you, but then we limit it by setting our own self-imposed boundaries. We say, I'm not comfortable going beyond this, yet God's boundaries for your life is far greater than the comfort zone that you set for yourself. And he wants to lead you out of that now to explore and experience the full inheritance, to express the full potential of what it is that he's called us to be. That's why his divine boundaries are always beyond our comfort zone. I mean, God hasn't finished with you yet. God hasn't finished with me yet. I might say, look, I'm really comfortable the way that things are now. And the Lord's saying, but yay, my friend, there's still much land to be possessed in your inheritance. There's still new things to be developed, new harvests for you to reap, new territory for you to possess, new exploits to be done. But just naturally speaking, if left to ourselves, we just like to stay the way that we are. Say, hey, look, I'm comfortable the way that it is. Let me just stay like this. But the Lord knows better than us. That's how we need to be willing to be led beyond our comfort zones. And that's why I like this, the prayer of Jabez. It's a really, really nice one, just in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. So he was a prayerful man. He was praying. And he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, which is my border. He's saying, Lord, if only you would really, truly bless me. I want to know your blessing. Help me, Lord, to go beyond my comfort zone. Help me to go beyond the borders that I've got at the moment. Let things expand. Let me do something for you. Let me get to new territory. Let me venture into places that I've never been and never possessed. That's what he's asking from the Lord. And then he says, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. But I'm sure that it wasn't easy. Because it's not easy going out of the comfort zone. Yeah, but the Lord now gave him opportunities and gave him a quickening and gave him an encouragement. Said, come and walk with me. Come and step out of the boat a little bit and come and experience what it's like here with me. And he was willing. He wanted his coast to be enlarged. He wants the borders of his inheritance to be pressed to the fullness of what God had for him. And that's a really, really wonderful thing to pray, that prayer of Jabez. Paul said to Timothy, the same kind of a thing, because Timothy was the sort of guy, his temperament, you saw it before, phlegmatic, sort of people that just too much like the comfort zone, too much like security, like Abraham. You want to take along a lot, you want to take along your father. You know, you really want security all the time. You know, like Gideon, you know, people that will underestimate their potential, people that never fulfill their calling if God doesn't really help them. Paul had to say it to Timothy at this kind of a ministry in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, endure these things, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. To make full proof of your ministry is allow your ministry to be expressed in all aspects. So Timothy, you may be doing well where you are now, but you don't know there's more potential inside of you. That this branch, like Joseph, he was a branch, a tree planted by a well, whose branches went over the wall. And even people walking by could partake of the fruits of the ministry of Joseph. His blessings spilled over even to the nations round and about. So Paul's saying that to Timothy. Timothy, don't just be comfortable or just be fully satisfied with the way things are. It's good. But there's still more of your inheritance to possess. But you're going to have to do the work of an evangelist. You're going to have to endure affliction. You're going to have to watch in all things. Because you're going to need to go beyond your comfort zone to make foolproof. Fully express all the different facets and aspects of your calling and gifting and the purposes that God has for your life. So he calls him to do that. And since it's impossible to fulfill the fullness of your commission by staying within the boundaries of your comfort zone. You can't. When Brother Branham went that time and there were those Pentecostal women there and, you know, they were all sneering and sniggering at the back when he was preaching the real holiness gospel, and he stopped and he said, you sisters at the back there, God has taken you as far as he can until you're prepared to give him more. Yeah, and that's the same sort of a principle. There comes a stage where God has taken us as far as he can until we're willing to step out of the comfort zone a little bit more. Endure some more affliction if it's necessary. Walk with God into things maybe we thought, I don't know if I can do this. And then he opens a door. You walk through and, hey, then wonderful things start to take place. You know, it's quite a thing to think about, to make full proof of your ministry, to fulfill it in every aspect. Now, while I was just looking today to try to find just a few graphics, you know, especially for the slide to send it to Brother Sasha and Brother George in the morning, I just found some quite interesting slides about the comfort zone. There were some interesting sayings. I will finish with these ones. But this is what Einstein said. Einstein said, a ship is always safe at the shore, but that's not what it's built for. Yeah, that's really about your comfort zone. Yeah, you feel safe. You know, I just want to stay at home. I just want to have a good time with my family. I just want to have a good time in the Word. Good, you feel safe. But friends, that's not so much fulfilling the commission, that the fullness of the commission that you're given. You know, that ship's got to get out of some stormy seas. That ship's got to take some goods and pack some people and go through some waters maybe that it would prefer not to go through to fulfill the purpose for which it was made. But a ship is always safe at the shore, but that's not what it was built for. Our comfort zones can be our greatest enemy to our potential. And it's true. You know, just wanting to stay within the zone. It's just natural for us to do that. And that's what the tutor, the Holy Ghost, has to quicken us and encourage us. We need ministry. We need people inside of our lives that tell us, like Paul did to Timothy, stir up that gift of God that is inside of your life. Don't let it go down to embers. Blow it and feed the flame and let it burn in a way that it's never burnt before. But our comfort zones can be our greatest enemy to our potential. This one's true, although you need to qualify it. A comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. I would say nothing new will grow there. Yeah, when you're in your comfort zone, things are going to grow within the boundaries that you've set for yourself now. But if you want it to be, if you want to sow more seed, you're going to have to come out of your zone and go and get more of your inheritance. Go and plow up another field and take out the rocks and remove all the obstacles. Now you can start to sow and see new growth and new potential. But if you just wanted to stay just sowing your one field every year and just sowing a little bit of corn, you know, just like our good brother Shamgar, you know, he was just in that comfort zone every year. He said, oh, well, if they take my corn, it's okay. We'll find some way to survive. And then that year he decided, I'm not going to stay in this comfort zone anymore. I want to see a greater potential expressed in and through me. And he stepped out of his comfort zone and he went and faced up to his fears, faced up to the enemy and did great exploits. And now he didn't have to lose his harvest that year. No, they had surplus harvest because he had stepped out of his comfort zone. So sometimes defeat, sometimes disappointment, discouragement, whatever, can spur us, can be the fire under the chair to try to get a step out of that comfort zone. Get out of that nest. No, but it's very, very comfortable in the nest. I sent this one around in one of my broadcast groups. I liked it. Great things never come from comfort zones. Once you're in your comfort zone, you're not going to do great exploits. Yeah, because you're not overcoming anymore. But the promises are to the overcomer. If you want a new, fresh, deeper experience with God, deeper revelation of his word, to be used in a deeper, more real, special way, if you want greater testimonies, updated experiences, it's going to come when you step out of your comfort zone in response to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But we can be like Jabez to desire that, to pray, Lord, please, oh, that thou would bless me. Yeah, that you would enlarge my borders, that you would keep me from evil, that it doesn't grieve me. And the Lord heard his prayer and answered his petition. Now, so I'm sure you're the same as me. Let's seek the saints as we look at these things, especially. I'm just doing generally tonight, but this is mainly going to focus on evangelism. Now, when we stay within a comfort zone, we never fulfill the Great Commission. But when we can respond to the anointing, be led of the Spirit, then we can start seeing Peter's led of the Spirit going against, stepping out of his comfort zone. The Holy Ghost falls on a whole house of people. Peter sees a great thing happening again, which he hasn't seen since the day of Pentecost. He sees a whole group of people receiving the Holy Ghost at the same, because he stepped out of his comfort zone and he followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So that one, I liked it as well. Your comfort zone, where the magic happens. We wouldn't say the magic, we'd say the deeper experience, where the supernatural takes place. Like I said in the beginning, nobody ever followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost and regretted it. Nobody ever stepped out of the comfort zone and walked with Jesus, towards Jesus on the water, and ever regretted it. Now you'll always have that experience. You'll have something fresh and new, and you'll speak to you. And no, we've got to step out of the comfort zone. Now, to the believer, this is what you're saying to the Lord. Lord, you are my comfort zone. Lord, it doesn't matter where you lead me. If you want me to be in the jungle in South America, if you're calling me there, if that's your will for me, I'll find that as my comfort zone. It might be a little bit difficult for me at first to acclimatize, but friends, whenever you're in the will of God, that's your comfort zone. Your soul is comfortable. Your spiritual life, your heart is at rest and ease in the will of God, wheresoever that will be. and to the believer. I mean, to Daniel, he was in his comfort zone in a lion's den because the Lord was there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the comfort zone in a fiery furnace because the fourth man was in the fire with them. And they were led of the Lord into that situation. It was at first they might have shrunk back and thought, hey, I don't ever think we can do that. But, you know, you'll find that the Lord is your comfort zone. Wherever he leads you, it's going to be your new comfort zone. Yeah. It's going to be new at first. It's going to be powerful, new experiences. And then after all, that's going to just become part of your spiritual makeup. You're going to be used to that. I remember the first times when I was ever asked to preach, it was hard. Hey, you know, your brothers know what it's like. You know, you fast until you're thin, you know, before you go to preach. And then you go and you preach, and then you find, wow, I didn't realize it could be like this. Now you've got all these fears and all that, and then the Lord showing you, no, step out of the comfort zone. And then you're standing in front of people, and at first it's awkward, but after a while, it becomes part of your spiritual makeup now. The Lord's been with you and led and guided you in that so many times. You know that he's going to be there. You know the Lord's going to help you. So now he leads you further. He wants to take in other aspects of your life. I think this is almost the last one now. A couple more. It says, you never change your life until you step out of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone. Nothing's going to change inside of your life as long as you stay in your comfort zone. But when you're tired of it now and say, but Lord, I want to do more for you. I want to go deeper. I want to go higher. I want to go further. I want to be used of you. I want to see more exploits. I want to see a greater manifestation of your spirit. And you pray like Jabez, and the Lord's going to lead you. Okay, now you need to overcome certain things. You need to overcome self, overcome fear, overcome whatever laziness, whatever that it is that's holding you back from stepping out of your comfort zone. And as you step out, change starts coming in. Yeah. Something starts taking place that you haven't seen take place before. Yeah, they made this one here. We won't get into it now, but it's really interesting. But they said, there's your comfort zone where you feel safe and in control. And that's where we all like to be. And then as you're stepping out at the beginning of stepping out of your comfort zone, you get into the fear zone. Now your mind will be asking you, what are you doing? You know, like to Peter, you can imagine his mind saying to him, hey, Peter, what are you doing? Get down lower in the boat. Why are you getting out of the boat? Now there's the fear zone. So you're going to have to overcome those fears, overcome that situation. That says that you're going to find excuses, lack self-confidence. You can be affected by other people's opinions. If you're not careful, you don't go through the fear zone and you retreat back into the comfort zone. And the Lord will say, that's okay. Let me encourage you. And then he takes you through something like that again. So again, this time, keep holding my hand. We're going to break through the fear zone. Then once you break through the fear zone, you get into the learning zone now. You start learning new things, how to handle challenges, new challenges and problems. You start acquiring new skills. You start extending your comfort zone now. You start, oh, look, hey, I'm actually walking on the water. This isn't as bad as I thought. Yeah, and now you start getting used to that, like spiritually, becomes part of your spiritual armor now. Now your comfort zone is going to expand to where the learning zone is. You see, and you keep going from the learning zone. They call it the growth zone. This is where you find your purpose. You live your dreams, set new goals. You realize your aspirations. Now you start saying, oh, Lord, I never knew it could be like this. I was fearing this all my life, but I can see if only I would have followed you earlier and done this, I didn't realize it could be so wonderful, you and I doing things like this. You see, now you've grown in your experience. You're making full proof of your ministry. You're expanding in different directions that before you never ever thought that you could. Now, friends, I really do think it's an important thing to want to walk with God. Like I say, when you're walking with God, God is going to keep taking you from that comfort zone through that fear zone. And he says, when you go through the waters, they're not going to overflow you. Don't worry. When you go through the fire, it's not going to burn you. It's going to be a little bit fearful, but I'm with you. Let's go together. Take my hand and walk you through the fear zone. Now you learn it. Okay. Hey, this isn't so bad. My, oh Lord. Hey, this is great. My, there's more inheritance here. I can grow some crops here. Lord, look at this. More people are coming to the Lord. Oh, young, yeah, you, whatever that it is that the Lord's calling you to do. Now you're growing now. You see, and that's the whole thing about the comfort zone. If you stay in it all the time, you stay as a babe in Christ. You never get anywhere in experience. You don't learn to endure. You don't learn the power of patience. You don't learn about the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold. You know, so we rob ourselves of a lot of things by limiting ourselves, limiting the Holy One of Israel. You're setting these boundaries in stone that shouldn't be set in stone, because the Lord's saying, no, my friend, that's just a self-imposed boundary you put around your inheritance. That's not the fullness of the inheritance that I have for you. I have far more than you've ever dreamed of. If you'll just trust me, let me take you step by step progressively. And now you'll find it in the early church. They were in their comfort zone. Then they had to go through the fear zone a little bit. Hey, go into the Gentiles. Why? Never. Yeah, and then they started to learn. The Holy Ghost falls upon them. Then the Antioch, the Gentiles start coming in. Paul comes in. Great harvest starts coming in. The church starts to grow. They're growing in understanding. The bride is starting to come forth from all nations. You'll find it's progressive, saints. As we're led of the Spirit here, lead us and guide us in these things. So God bless the saints. Let's pray before we finish up and come to some questions and some fellowship. Father, we do look to you, Lord. Father, we think of Jabez and how we pray the same prayer. Oh, that you would bless us indeed, Lord, especially down this aspect of evangelism, Lord. Father, that you would enlarge our borders and enlarge our coasts. And Father, keep us from evil, that it doesn't grieve us. And Lord, just take us by the hand and bless us indeed, we pray. And we know, Lord, that is your desire, because you always do that in our lives. May you bless your people this night. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to learn to better follow you, not to presume, but to be led of the Spirit. And Father, may you be glorified in it all. May your will be done, we pray. Bless and touch your people. Bless the remainder of our fellowship this evening. Even anybody who watches this on YouTube, may you bless them as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you there. Would anybody have anything to say, to add, to query on that one there this evening?
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, when you were talking about coming out of your comfort zone, I think it's just reflected on, like, kind of my journey so far. And Before coming into this company, my previous company was my first job. And I remember, like, you know, those small steps of sharing your faith. Like, I didn't know how to do it, or, you know, what is life working. And one of assistant in Christ used to say, like, okay, on your desk, like, put a scripture. On your note, just kind of like, you're not, because it, you know, in where I'm from, you're it's illegal to kind of share your faith basically to people. You're not allowed to convert. You know, and they see it as conversion. So how do you kind of show? Because my name is very typical. It's a non-Christian name. And how do you kind of share that? And, you know, it started off from that, like putting a post-it note. And they're like, oh, you're Christian. You know, it starts like that kind of conversation. And then, you know, and then you reach a comfort zone. Because for me, that was a big step. That's coming out of my comfort zone. And then I was, you know, I've been in that company for like 6 years. So clearly, like, been in that comfort zone. And then Jesus was like, okay, no, you need to move now. And then when you move, so when I moved to this company, I realized why I had to go. And it was not just for career or anything. Like, you realize that God actually has plans for you. And there was the sister, like, I mean, she's a colleague now, is a sister in Christ. Like, you know, we pray together and stuff. And, you know, she had an incident where she lost her husband and he collapsed. And, you know, I was the first one she called, and she's like, can you help me? Like, pray with me. Like, do you know what I mean? That was out of comfort zone, because I was like, what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. And then you reach a point where you build a relationship. So in your mind, in a comfort zone, and then Jesus brings you out of that country and then, you know, put you in a different country. And so I'm still like in, you know, fear/learning zone, as the image you said. But yeah, no, it's just, thank you so much. It was like a reflection, really.
That's true. And it's very true. So, and I'm sure every single one of us can reflect in that same kind of a way. You know, we'd look and see that. Yeah, I think it answers a lot of the mystery of why sometimes the Lord moves you from place to place, you know, or even like in your job, like you're saying, because maybe you fulfilled as much as you can in a certain place. You've grown as much as you can. You've done really what you're supposed to do. So now the Lord, like, you know, always take the example of Joseph. He's learned as much as he can from his father, Jacob. He's learned all the spiritual principles, all the principles of prophecy and that. But he's not only going to just be someone is going to deal with the Jews, he needs to deal with the Gentiles, because he's going to save the Gentiles as well. So he's got to come from the promised land. He's got to come down into Egypt. Yeah, and then when he's learned as much as he can from Potiphar, the Lord has a way to bring him in the prison. And then he's with the king's prisoners. He's got to learn and minister to the king's prisoners and express his ministry there. And then when he's finished there, now he's before Pharaoh. You know, so you really do find that it's spiritual growth, you know, that expressing the potential and knowing the Lord and walking with the Lord. It's, I'm sure no matter how long you've been a Christian, you still feel a babe in Christ. You feel, look, I'm just starting here. There's so much still to learn, and the potential is just eternal. You're dealing with eternal things, but it's true. But there's always a reason. There's something. And as we said the other week, even the people that the Lord puts inside of your life, some can just be for a season. And Brother George knows, we always give the example of one brother back home who was such a brother, who was such a man of prayer. And he'd been a soldier before, and he was so much on the lines of respect. And we spent time with him in the days of our youth, and he put such a good influence in those things. And then you separate, you never see each other again. I hear of him once in a while, where he is in South Africa and stuff. But now there was a season where he wants you to be a certain people, to impart certain things. Maybe so there's a great expression of potential, or putting certain equipment in you for the future, whatever that it is. But, you know, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Brother Sasha, God bless you, bro.
God bless everybody. Thank you, Pastor, for this. Just thank you, sister, for sharing your testimony. Just maybe a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, came one scripture on my mind. So if you don't mind, I can read. Please. And I see now it's connected with this subject. Amen. So in the Revelation, in the Revelation 10 from 8 to the end, yeah? From 8 to 11, when John is talking about how Jesus told him, voice, to take the book and eat that book. And the book made him bitter in his stomach. And, and after, when he eat that book, the voice told him, now you must
prophesy.
Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. So I thought, you can't bring many nations into the church.
Yeah,
you will never bring kings or I don't know how, or people, I don't know, in church. But it's commission for us where we go, and it's very important. So I was thinking about that, how it's important, this commission for us today. Because I don't know, I hope it has
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, bro. And that's true, bro.
Amen.
And for us, Brother Sasha, to fulfill that commission, we've got to go beyond our comfort zone, because we have fulfilled it in a measure. But I'm sure every single one of us feel like that, is that the great job is still to be done. I mean, that now we can't presume. No, you can't run ahead of God. You need him to do the leading. But I think it's that getting out of the comfort zone. It's stepping out and then experiencing that next thing. And you say, but it's like when you speak to somebody about the Lord, you might feel, but hey, I don't think that person's going to accept the Lord very well. Look what they look like. And then you start speaking to the person. You find out that the Lord's been preparing the heart of the person. It becomes such a blessing that you feel inside of yourself that, hey, why did I not speak to that person before? And that experience, when you just overcome self, you overcome your fear or your prejudice, whatever it is, you just follow the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing. You're now saying, Lord, please give me another opportunity like that. You know, it's that getting out of the comfort zone. The difficult time is always the first time, like when Peter went to the house of Cornelius. It's hard. It's the first time he's saying, but hey, what are these people? These people are going to kill me or something like that. But when he saw the blessing of the Lord fall on the house, and Peter started saying, wow, I never imagined it could be like this. This is wonderful. Yeah. But he wasn't made to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So he never really thought, okay, let me find another house of Gentiles to go and testify to. That wasn't his calling. He goes back to Jerusalem again, or he goes to Joppa. And then the Lord has to bring Paul, because Paul is the one now who's got the real vision that, you know, this inheritance includes the Gentiles. And Paul, his comfort zone is, wherever Christ hasn't been preached, he's comfortable to go there. He says, I don't want to go and preach with places where Christ is already preached. He says, I want to go where Christ is not preached. Why? You know, you can see God made him in a certain way. There was a deep inside him. He was so satisfied going to Galatia, going to Philippi, going to all those places, Ephesus, you know, sleeping where he could sleep, you know, working even with his hands as a tent maker to make his own money. He said, but my, this is where I want to be. But that's why John Mark maybe said, me, I'm heading back to Jerusalem. This is beyond my comfort zone now. He said, this is too much. Where's this man leading us to? You know, God has got to make you in a certain way. But even if you made in a certain way, we, through what you've experienced in the days of our youth and maybe disappointments of the past, natural fears that we inherit or that we have, it's going to try to hinder you. It's going to try to hold you back. And the voice of all the critic and the voice of all the unbelief is going to want to try to rise up. Nah, just stay what you're doing. Don't step out. You try to do something more in church and you find, it doesn't seem like people appreciate it. So I'm not going to do anything more. Let me just go back in the comfort zone. No, it's to the overcomer. You keep going. Let the Lord bless and you'll find the Lord will bless you each and every time that you do it. So yes, brother, thou must prophesy again to many nations and tongues and peoples. Yeah, but it was progressive. The early church, how they did it in their day, they never caught the full understanding of that at first. They just wanted to say, okay, guys, let's just stay in Dublin. It's nice in Dublin. We know what Dublin's like. Now, let's not go down to Dublin 24. Hey, you never know what's going to happen in Jobstown with those guys there. You know, I don't want to go down. Oh, there's too many. Imagine if you go to what's that place there near IKEA in Dublin where there's all those gangs and all those guys. Yeah, I can't remember what's the name of that.
Ballyfermot.
Ballyfermot and that. All those people. Yeah. I'm not going to give our tracks in Ballyfermot. Don't go to Ballyfermot until the Lord leads you, obviously. Don't presume, because you find yourself like the sons of Sceva. You can be in trouble. But if the Lord is leading you, you just go where the Lord leads you, and you can find it. Like we were told in Limerick, you know, Limerick is knife city. It's notorious through the whole of Europe. People know all the drugs and the gangs. Hey, I've had a wonderful time every time we've come to Limerick. I'm longing to come back to Limerick again. We had such a nice time even last week when we were in Limerick again. It's like, hey, because that's where the Lord wants you to be. That's why it'll be part of your spiritual comfort zone. But there's other places you go, maybe you're not called to go. It's like Brother Ram says when he went to preach to the Japanese or the Chinese women, he says he never went down well. He was told you'll never be so successful in the East with your kind of a ministry or in America. But there were certain places he'd go just strike like fire. It would be blessed here, but not the same kind of a way. So, you know, you start learning those kind of things that, you know, God has his comfort zone. That's our inheritance for us. And we just need to be willing to expand our borders and follow where he wants us to go. Anybody else? Before we finish off there, saints.
Sorry, Pastor. I turned my camera off. I'm not being rude. My sound is bad, so bad. So forgive me.
I thought you just had a bad haircut or something, by George, but it's good.
I'm just hearing you going, hi, eat, 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 eat.
Anything to say there, by George? A half hour silence.
Very good.
But that's about it, saints. So just a thought this week about the comfort zone. I was thinking especially about evangelism. Bro, Greg, please, bro. We'll get you then, bro, faithful, straight after that. Sorry, you both put your hands up there. Bro, Greg, God bless you, bro.
Yeah, God bless you, brother. You see, all this what was said today, brother, was very, very good. I was actually feeding Noah a few minutes ago. But was, brother, very, very kind of, you know, like an eye-opener. You know, I'm learning all the time. Yeah. And I'm saying this openly, even if it's at work or wherever I am, I'm learning all the time. So this what was said today, brother, was very, very true, you know, about the comfort zone, about the fears, about this thing, about, you know, that me and this and stuff like that, you know, the laziness. All this, brother, when you put together in the package what you said today was so needful and so helpful, if that makes sense, you know, because it helps somebody who is built that way, but not only this way, let's say Brother Sasha, and let's say me, Brother George, whoever it's there to build that way, let's say to go on the streets or do what they do, but brother, every single one of us who's gathered here today, it's built in a certain way that God can use them if they just come out from the comfort zone and just see which angle and which direction that we could just do something, you know?
Absolutely.
So brother, it was very, very good, brother, because it's just like, you know, it's like a little shake and just say like, look, because, you know, devil will make in your head this, that it's bigger than, you know, it's so high mountain that when you just look up, you just say, just let me just wait until the mountain gets smaller rather than me get bigger, you know? But brother, this, what you said was just so simple and so like a good advice. If that makes sense to get me, it was just a nice Bible study. Beautiful. So true, but brother was just a very down to the earth, just, you know, get a grip, come out from your comfort zone and carry on, you know.
That's right, bro. Absolutely, bro.
So thank you very much. Greg,
the thing is, we're robbing ourselves of blessings. You know, today when I went out just riding on the bike, you know, I wanted just to do some exercise, I was out on the bike and I was thinking of that. And it's like in my heart, in a way, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, when you doubt me or you don't step out of your comfort zone, you're like robbing me of the chance for me to be glorified. Yeah. And I thought, that's so true, Lord. I said, it's like, you're looking for opportunities to be glorified. You know, the Lord's really looking for opportunities to express himself. And when we stay in the comfort zone, we're not giving him the opportunity to express himself through us or for us, you know, because we're limiting him too much. So the Lord's saying, buddy, if you could step out of that comfort zone, Peter, if you can step out of the comfort zone, I'm going to be more to you than I was before you stepped out of the comfort zone. It's okay. If you want to stay in the boat, you're still my disciple. I still love you. But hey, Peter, if you can just step out of it. And I think that's the principle. And also what you're saying, bro, depends on your ministry. To one person, stepping out of the comfort zone is going to stand on the street and preach. To another person, it's telling a person at college, you know, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I mean, to some people, that is a huge step, even just to like stand up for their faith. Because they're shy people, they're nervous sorts of people. So for them, even just to make a simple witness to say, you know, I believe in Jesus. Hey, or to be seen carrying a Bible, to them, that's, they've overcome something. That's an act of overcoming. But that's a first act. Keep going like that. It's surprising where that can lead to, and that can lead to something else, you know. So yes, for someone just to be able to say, hey, if only I could overcome myself, I like my neighbor, if I could just go and give her a tract. Yeah. Hey, you know, just to say to Brother Sasha, the tracts are in the church. I left them on Sunday, bro. Sorry, I thought they were Brother Greg, so I didn't give them to him. But to say, hey, if I could just give my boss at work, my boss is a really nice person, give him a tract. But hey, you know, that comfort zone, you have to step out. Then when you do it, you say, oh, I followed the Lord. It was such a blessing. Now it's a new, you've grown. And now you're thinking who you can give the next one to. You see, but it's just that overcoming in whatever field or aspect the Lord has called us to. Brother Faithful, God bless, bro. I see you put your hand. God bless you, bro.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. It's
God bless you, Richard.
Really a wonderful one, I must say. Like, I think it has my name on it. It has my name on it. So may the Lord be our help. That's my humble prayer.
Yes.
Because truly, truly, truly speaking, there's a whole lot that should be done. And there's a whole lot that can be done. But most of the time, just like as I was saying last Sunday, you know, we limit God. We put God in a box and feel like, okay, this is how much I can gain from God. You know, just like going to the ocean and using a teaspoon to get the water from the ocean. And you're saying that you're satisfied with just that. See, when Jesus has a table spread and the ocean is just there, you know, for us to drink and not thirst anymore. So may the Lord help us. It's sincerely, everyone definitely, you know, has that, you know, something more that you can do for the Lord, you know.
Amen.
I pray the Lord help us. So, but I have a question.
Yes, bro.
Because most of the times, you know, some of the things that we face is that sometimes we step out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Lord, you know, puts something in your heart, you know, tells you to do something and you step out of your comfort zone, rather trying to do that. And you face challenges, like probably it didn't go as you expected. You wanted to give that track to the person and it didn't really go as you expected.
Absolutely.
You wanted to give it to your boss. Your boss said, no, we don't do that here. Like, it's not even try that anymore. Like, so what then happens? What do you do? How do you move from there, you know?
That's a good question. I think what it comes down to, bro, is Sometimes it's we lead ourselves. Like I said, sometimes we're presuming. Sometimes it's our emotion. Sometimes it's just our natural desire. So I find those disappointments, they do something. When you've been disappointed like that, it does something to you. So it makes me then the next time say, okay, Lord, I don't want that disappointment again. So it makes you get more in the spirit, makes you get more in tune so that the next time when you do it, you don't give up because the desire is good what you're trying to do. That's for the kingdom of God. But let channel that disappointment in the right way to make you more yielded, more surrendered, because he's never going to lead you to a disappointment like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's normally we lead ourselves. We thought that was the voice of the Lord. We thought that was the leadership of the Lord. It's like Brother Ram says, God has to be working on both ends. You know, if God, you know what it's like when the Lord leads you to somebody, you start speaking and the Lord's dealing with that person. It just opens up and you shocked yourself. Like when those two spies came into Rahab's house, now that was out of their comfort zone. They in a harlot's house and she's a Gentile. They're thinking, all right, let's not say too much about God here. We might get ourselves in trouble. And then maybe just a little something was said about the Lord. And here comes, she pours out of herself. We know your God is God. And we've heard of the great exploits that he did. I don't want to die in this city. You know, it's like you see, but yay. I never would have expected it like that. But I think the disappointments, it's like preaching, Brother Faithful, you know it yourself. There's times when you think you've got the right thing to preach. Maybe you've been tired, you've been busy. You know, you get something, you stand in front, and then you realize there, this isn't what the Lord wants to be said. And the words seem to fall at your feet. You go home. It takes you days to recover from that. It's like it's devastating. I've had that a few times, bro. But what it does to you is it makes you the next time say, Lord, I want to be more yielded next time. I want to be more surrendered to you. I don't want to have to go through that again. That, you know, so I think channeling those disappointments makes you more effective the next time. You know, but Satan's going to try to take a hold of those things as well and disappoint you and say, you see, if you were supposed to do that, this, that. Yeah. Like Moses, you head to the backside of the desert because your brethren didn't accept you. Yeah. He didn't do it the right way. It's not the way God wanted him to deliver the people. He needed to get in the spirit, get to the burning bush. Then he came now. And when he came this time, now, the desire was good the first time, but he didn't follow the Lord. It wasn't the Lord's time. It wasn't the Lord's way. But that pushed him now. I'm not going to do anything. He went to the burning bush. Now he knew exactly the right way to do it. But Satan will try to discourage you so much to give up. But then that seed inside of you is not going to be satisfied because there's something in you wanting to express itself. There's a potential in you wanting to be expressed. You know, so you're going to be a miserable person like Moses at the backside of the desert. So I've just learned from my disappointments. Getting out on the street, sometimes we went with Brother Wilmore the 1 year. The previous year, we'd been up to the motorbike race here. We'd been really prayed up. Me and some brothers who went out, we had a powerful time testifying to people at the big motorbike races in Northern Ireland on the North Coast. We stayed there for the weekend. It was a wonderful time. The next year, we presumed. Brother Wilmore was so busy at work. I was so busy at work. We're just, you know, tired from work on a Friday, get in the car, you drive up, you think it's going to be like the last time. But hey, it was tough that time when we went. Then we realized, every single time it needs that individual leadership. It needs that individual, you know, waiting upon the Lord and stuff. And it was a tough weekend, but it taught us very good lessons again. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I always try to take those disappointments. At first, when they're happy, they can be quite devastating. And the devil will come and play with your mind and say, yeah. But if you just wait upon the Lord and encourage yourself like in the Lord, like David, you find the Lord will say, okay, let's take this disappointment. Let's learn from it. It didn't work out the way you thought. No, it's not. Doesn't mean I don't want you to do it, but hey, let's talk about the way that it needs to be done and how you approached it and so forth. And I think you'll glean very, very important lessons from those disappointments just as much as you learn from the victories.
Yeah, thank you so much. Maybe just a follow-up.
Yeah.
Thank you. But can you be in the will of God, doing the things, you know, rightly, the way the Lord wants you to do it, putting your heart at it, putting your best, stepping out of your comfort zone,
yeah,
but yet facing challenges like not seemingly at the moment, right? Seeing a breakthrough in probably what you're doing. Is that possible? Or does that, if you, in the you, by the grace of God, you feel the Lord is leading you, you're doing it right, you're stepping out of your comfort zone, if there are challenges, is that a sign that you are presuming, or is that a sign to keep persevering? Or, you know, I don't know if you
I do understand your my thoughts. Perfectly, but I really do understand. I think it's when you, there's two things. Obviously, there's, if you remember when I said about the life of Hudson Taylor, there's the two volumes of his life. The first one is the growth of a soul. The second one is the growth of a mission. And one is just as important as the other, you know, so the one has to precede the other. So the Lord's going to take you through the quarry. He's going to put you in the quarry. He's going to be dealing with you in the quarry, shaping up your soul, the, you know, the spiritual experiences, the things that you're going to need going forward. You're going to need to kill a lion and a bear and all those kind of things like David in the secret place, you know, this hidden work that the Lord's dealing with you. So sometimes you find when you try to step out and you're thinking things are going to expand or things are going to move maybe in the public ministry now, and it doesn't. Maybe the Lord's saying, look, just stay there and let me deal more on the personal ministry. You know, there's still more work to be done in the quarry. There's still more work to be done on the potter's wheel. You know, I need to fashion you some more. You know, there's still some shaping. Before I can take off the canvas from the statue and unveil it, now there's still some chipping and there's still some polishing that needs to be done. So it can sometimes be like that. But on the other hand, whenever you do something for the Lord, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have people criticize because not everyone's in the spirit at the right time. That's why I always say the real Urim Thummim is the real body of Christ, is the real believer. I've got to be careful. I don't listen to Mr. Skeptic or Mr. Critic, because they're always going to be there. If I listen to them, you know, there might be 50 of God's children and they've been blessed by something that you do. And then 20 people are not in the spirit are going to complain. But it seems the voice of the critic comes to us a lot easier than the encouragement from the believer. So we can then focus on the criticism and say, but I don't think that really went down well. I don't think the Lord wanted me to do that, because why are these people not happy? I mean, Jesus went and preached in the synagogue. They wanted to throw him off the mountain the first time he preached. Remember when he came and said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. But to the genuine believer that was there, something struck their souls and they would have come to Jesus, Master, tell us, well, that was powerful. We never heard people preach like this. You know, but then the outward signs of it, you know, the people didn't really appreciate it. Look at Paul going to those places, getting stoned and putting stocks with Silas and that. There was a lot of opposition, a lot of disappointment, but he did see the fruits. He started to see now some of the Gentiles, the Jews, the leader of the synagogue starts to believe. So I believe inside of your calling, like the Lord, like Boaz, will always drop handfuls for you along the way. Like with Ruth, which is clear, you'll always have enough encouragement to keep you going. But the Lord will also temper that by allowing some criticism and allowing this, because he doesn't want us to get puffed up as well. He doesn't want us to, you know, trust that we can do things ourselves. No, so he wants to keep us in a certain zone where we're depending on him. So he knows when to encourage us and he knows how to keep us humble. And he's going to have both those influences inside of our lives. But if you continually doing something and you don't see the blessing of the Lord upon it, you don't see the light flashing in the Urim and Thummim, you know, you don't find the body of Christ responding in some way and saying, brother, that's wonderful, that's really the potential of God inside of you, now, then definitely it's good to go back to the Lord and say, but Lord, you know, what's happening here? I don't want to be doing you a service without it being your will. You know, I really want to be in the place you want me to. I want to see your anointing, your blessing. I want to see the fruits coming from whatever it is that I'm putting inside of your life. But just make sure you listen to the right voices at those times. There's going to be people God puts inside of your life that are born for such a time as that. And they, you know, I'll just give you one example before we hand over to the next person. Is I remember listening to the word for the day. Whenever I used to travel for work years back, I used to have it on the Christian radio at 5 to 8 every morning. There was this guy called Bob Gass and he used to do thought for the day. It was very good. Many times he was very good. And one day he used that scripture. There's a brother born for the day of adversity. And he says, let me give an example of what happened to me. And he says, when I got saved, I really was quite used of the Lord in speaking to people, testifying of that. And he says, I had quite a gift of preaching. And he says, and quickly people would invite me. And he says, my ministry started to grow so quickly and so fast. He says, but my home was in a mess. My marriage wasn't doing well now. He says, everything started to fall apart. He says, I could just really see this is not the way that it's supposed to be. He says, so I said, I need to go back to the people that God put inside of my life to speak his word into my life. So he says, I went now back to my former pastor. He says, I sat down with him first and I explained my situation. He says, I went to another elder, you know, elderly saint that I used to always know that so much encouraged me and helped me in the days of my youth, explained to them both my situation. And both of them said, yes, your gift is running ahead of your character. You see, and that's what's causing these problems. So the best thing is shut a lot of that public stuff down. Just come back to the basics again. You know, focus more on the home, focus on the home front more. And when now your character, when your natural maturity, you're like the natural side, God has dealt with you and brought you to that maturity, then now go forth again. And he says, those people spoke exactly what I needed to hear at that time. He says, I stopped all the other engagements, speaking engagements and other things. I came back now to Jerusalem and I focused in Jerusalem. He says, I started to get into the word, spend more time in prayer. And the Lord now restored my marriage. The Lord restored my home. He says, then I started to say, okay, if the doors start opening again, I'll start reaching out further. But he says, I was going further, pushing out further, jumping higher than my character would allow me. And that's what is going to catch you up. So I think you'll always have people that get inside of your life when those situations come that you can take that to. And they'll speak honestly into your experience, you know, really speak to you in that kind. They understand you. They know who you are. They know where you came from. They can really give you that sound advice at that time. And it could be any myriad of things. You know, it could be whatever's happening inside of your life. But definitely, you know, God has people around you. God has waves of speaking to you, and he'll make it clear to you. He will. He'll make it clear at that junction inside of your life. Just before we come to Brother Nyamuchena, I saw Sister Dash had put her hand. Sister Dash, do you still have your hand up there, Sister? Did you want to say something with Sister Dash?
Well, that was a mistake. I was trying to get I got sound working nicely, so I pressed the wrong button on the phone.
No problem. Brother James, God bless you. Nyamuchena family, God bless you richly there.
Bless you, Pastor.
God bless you, bro.
Thank you for the subject. Simple, but it's, you know, it resonates a lot. I was just thinking there with Brother Faithful, you know, saying about, you know, meeting challenges. What came to my mind was God taking Moses out of his comfort zone from his father-in-law. You know, he calls him, like you referred to the burning bush, and then he sends him to Pharaoh. He says, gives him a commission. Yes, but I don't know whether he gave him the full package of what was going to happen.
No, he didn't.
and I think Moses goes there thinking that, you know, I'm going to tell Pharaoh what to do, and then Pharaoh is just going to do exactly as the Lord has told me.
Yeah, it's very good.
And he realizes, hey, the man is hard-hearted. You know, he tries to throw, he throws his rod down, and the man tries to replicate the tricks. And so some of these, they can be part of the calling.
Amen.
Some of these challenges, they give us character sometimes, and they also make us depend more on God, because what do? We go back to the source.
Yes.
You know, and find out, you know, am I still in the will of God here, or, you know, have I got out of the will of God? So it's important sometimes. And I don't think there'll be any calling that will not have these bumps. You know, it's like the peaks that you were showing, you know, it's going to be you're going to be on top of the mountain. It's not easy. You have to work hard.
Amen, bro. True.
And to get to the valley as well, there's work that is needed there, though it's different from the one that you did going up. So there are going to be challenges along the way to every man of God. I was thinking if I can tie that with our prophet in the day.
Yeah.
He is in God's will. He's doing things right. He's walking with the Lord. The Lord is confirming. And just one thing takes place.
Yeah.
He prays for his sister and God says she's healed. And then she dies. And then the prophet goes, ha. You know, now he's out of his comfort zone now because Amen. This is not what he's used to seeing.
Yes.
And then he ends up questioning God. You know, just to balance the two things.
Amen. Amen.
He ends up now questioning God because he's now out of his comfort zone. This is not what he's normally seeing when he prays for somebody. True. So if I can leave it at that, you know.
Amen, bro. Very good. Your sister Dash put the same as you said there. She put it in the comment, said, when we are out of our comfort zone, we depend more on the Lord. You know, absolutely, bro. You know, it's like when the Lord brings you out of the comfort zone, you so much depend more on him. You know, you really, really do. That's where he wants you to be. You're looking to him because you really need his leadership at a time like that. But it's true. What you're saying there, bruh, about the prophet and about when things go backwards, Moses comes to the children of Israel. If you really think about that one, when he first came to them, the people really rejoiced and they said, wow, we're going to be going out of here soon. And then when Moses went to Pharaoh, it says Pharaoh said, you people are too lazy. That's why you want to go out in the wilderness. I haven't given you enough work. And it's okay. Now you go and find your own straw. And Moses, instead of coming back to the children of God to say, hey, guys, things went so well. Pharaoh's going to deliver us. Had to come back and tell them, I'm sorry about that, guys. But the pressure is going to even be worse for a season. And it says, and the people were discouraged with Moses. You know, the people were ready. So like Brother Faithful saying, you get those kind of a situation. Or when Jannes and Jambres throw down their rods and they turn into snakes. Like you're saying, Brother James, the Lord never told Moses gave him a catalog of what to do when he got to Egypt. He just said, go and tell Pharaoh this. And then, hey, he throws his stick down and turns into a snake. It says, Jannes, Jambres, throw down his stick. And boom, the same thing happens. You know, it's a real challenge, but it's at that time now, stand still and see the salvation of God. It's like Aaron's rod. If God has called you, put the rod in the holy place, it's going to bud at some time. It's going to blossom. God's going to vindicate it at some time. God's going to show, you know, he always will show, if you in your calling, if you in your position, if you in your place, he's going to vindicate that. Satan's job is to try to get in the middle of that process. To try to give up before time, or to think that, I don't think I was called to do this. If I was supposed to do this, why is God not blessing it? Just wait. You know, like we're saying there, when you're out of your comfort zone, like Sister Dash said, get back, get closer to the Lord. Just make sure you heard things the right way. And when you're sure inside of yourself, when you've got settled again in the presence of the Lord, you go back out again. I say, okay, Lord, I know you sent me. Now it's time to stand still and see the salvation of God. Now it's time to see the Lord now. Backing you up and vindicating in what you do. But it is, you know, the greatest battle ever fought is going to be there. You've got your human temperament still there. You've got your memory. You've got your reasoning. You've got all of these fallen faculties, and Satan's going to try to use all of those things there. That's how, Brother, I'm just in closing. He says, now that's the trick. He says, many people believe they're called when they're not. And many people, the devil will make them think they're not called when they are. He says, that's how Paul is saying, make your calling and election sure. You know, you really want to just wait upon the Lord and follow it and just check your motive, check your objective, put yourself in his hands. And, you know, God will never lead you to a place that his grace isn't going to keep you. God's never going to put you in a situation and just leave you there. If you're in his will, he's going to show it in some way. So may the Lord help us on that. Any final comment before we finish? Okay, so we want to pray for Brother Nat. Brother Nat is saying, let's pray for Brother Pele. He's very emotional listening to us. So, Brother, I think it's a very good thing now as we close in a word of prayer. We'll pray for that. But saints, may the Lord richly bless you. And thank you very much for tuning in this evening. May the Lord help us to just follow him. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So, Brother George, you pray for us there, please. Let's pray for Brother Pele as well.
Father God, we thank you for this virtuous word that we've heard today. Father Lord, Lord Savior, this is us in a nutshell. Father, it's as though, Father Lord, we, each of us took headphones and tuned into thee, O God. And Lord, Father, you addressed the various aspects of our lives, that, Lord Father, you'd like to encourage us to pursue on, to push on. For Lord, as the pastors just mentioned, you'll never leave us, nor forsake us, and you wouldn't leave us in a dark place alone. Father, Lord, God, just help us, Father, that, Lord, precious Savior, we would stay in that zone where, Lord Father, we are effective, Lord Father, to your word. And Lord, when it gets uncomfortable, Father, Lord, as our brother once said up north, when Lord Savior, the devil's a good sheepdog, he pushes us back to the shepherd. Lord, and when the going gets tough, was once said, the tough run to Jesus. We pray your grace, we pray your mercy. Keep us, O God, and bless this word, O God. Father, Lord, help us to listen and listen until we glean out of it, Lord, those handfuls. Lord, when you said, Lord, Father, those reapers, those were the angels. They were feeding the flock, Lord, and we are, Lord, Father, Ruth in the field, O God, and those handfuls are dropping to encourage, Lord, Father, to ignite us, to help us even along life's journeys, O God, keeping us even in, Lord, Father, the middle road. Bless our pastor, give him grace, give him mercy, give him virtue. You know his wishes and desires. We lay them before thee, O God. Father, we believe, Lord, Father, you will never leave nor forsake him. You are with him in every step of the way. And as we sing, we are following Jesus one step at a time. Oh, God, the pathway can grow narrow, but, Lord, you are leading on. Guide us now as we part with us, the spirit that has been here on this virtual platform. Help it to be amidst our houses, be amidst our lives, that, Lord, when we would go to sleep and, Lord, Father, you would give us, Lord, Father, warnings in the night visions. You would give us, Lord, Father, what is necessary, Father, for, Lord, maybe to pray for another brother or sister. We're thinking of our brother Pele.
Amen.
Oh, God, we know why he's emotional. For, Lord, the inner man can hear these things, oh, God. And, Lord, Father, he's pining to come out of that state. Lord, Father, oh, God, the doctor said he wouldn't go this far. But, Lord, you are proving that, Lord, Savior, you, oh, God, Father, our Lord, Savior, the one who numbers our steps and gives us, Lord, Father, oh, God, Father, time as we require. Bless our brother, give him grace. And as we continue to fellowship with him, oh, God, may you give him back his speech. May you give him back, Lord, Savior, Father, oh, God, a sane and a sober mind. Amen. We pray your grace. I believe, Lord, where he is now, he's desiring, Lord, once more. And, Lord, Father, he's promising, Lord, Father, to walk, Lord, Father, with, Lord, Savior, such, oh, God, Father, sincerity, Lord, even in the next, Lord, Father, opportunity. Give us grace as, Lord, Father, we desire to see him again in your house of worship and to see him, Father, oh, God, Lord, Savior, on this platform again. Bless our pastor again. Restore virtue. Bless everyone that has tuned in today. Bless every desire, every heart. Those people that would tune in, Lord, Father, at a later time. Even when we would come back and listen to this, oh, God, at times we take these things to the all nights. Bless us, Lord, even in those times. Give us your grace. Give us your mercy. We ask now for your grace. In thine holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless each and everyone. Saints, God bless. We'll meet you on the weekend. We'll meet you next week by the grace of God. Amen. God bless, Sister Rosende. God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you, Andrew. That was wonderful.
God bless, guys.
God
bless you. Sister Rosende, the lights didn't go off in Jesus' name.
No, thank you, Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, God bless, saints.
Good. Have you got your visas? Are you visiting soon?
Now we wait till the lights come.
I'll try and organize. I'll have the generator on for you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. God bless. Good night.
Hey, Button.
God bless.
Hey, Button.
God bless.
I hear you.
I'll phone you just now. Are you awake?
Yeah, I am.
I'll chat to you. Bye, Andrew.
Bye, Andrew.
God bless.
God bless.